Would you like to introduce our first guest?
I would. And the unfortunate thing is we only got 2 hours, and it will take 2 hours just to introduce this wonderful person. I've been involved with this person for probably close to 20 years, 15, 20 years, over a variety of things. And I've always held this person in high regard for a number of reasons. One is she's very authentic and sincere to the causes that she supports, and that's very important to me. No fear or favour in terms of doing it. It's done to help other people. It's not negotiated, as you and I often say about when we talk about people we want on the show. And listeners, the people we have on this show are by invitation, and we're delighted to have in the studio today a very good friend, a great person who has contributed to this community, and that is none other than Bev Jordan. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning,
how are
Bev?
You?
Good, thank you. Thank you for coming in this morning and taking your time out to join Spotlight this morning, Jim.
Well, I was going to say, I know you two through so many endeavours of yourself, like so many charities and fundraisers, and I must tell you all, listeners, that Darren is the best present wrapper I know. It doesn't, when we used to do present wrapping for the Cancer Council, he's always there and always doing shifts. And I think that's a secret that not many people know about.
I'm missing it, actually.
Yeah, we usually do a big fundraiser at Father's Day, yeah. Mother's Day in Castle Towers, and hopefully the Christmas wrap will go ahead. But who knows? Things change every day, it
hopefully
seems.
It will. And I must say, I was in Parramatta yesterday, and Parramatta seems to be buzzing and pretty much normal to me, but Castle Hill seems a bit different, so hopefully we can make that different as we go on and keep getting out of this lockdown period. Mm. One thing I'd like to say, Bev, is I might know a lot about what you do as Endeavours and for the Hills, but as far as who Bev is and what makes Bev, I don't know so much. Is there something you want to share with Jim, myself, and our listeners about how Bev gets turned on for these things, or something just from your life?
Oh, my goodness. How many hours have we got? God. I'm a passionate journalist, as you know, and I've always felt that it's a job of a journalist to inform, inspire and engage people. So local community has been very much where I've worked. I've worked on the Daily Telegraph and the Sydney Morning Herald, but community news is always been my passion. And I think it stems from the age, I've wanted to be a journalist since the age of 13, because basically I'm a sticky beak. I always want to know who's doing what, where, why, and everybody has a story.
That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you for sharing that.
that I'm a sticky beak.
No, that you're in it from 13 as well. And it's good for listeners to understand how people get into their passions. And we often hear that it's when they're really early and they take it on and develop a great career in that passion. That's what I've seen with you, and thank you for sharing that. And Jim.
Bev, there are so many things, and we want you to come back again, because your story, well, it's not finished. There's no full stops, and you continue to take on more and more things. But today, I really want people to comprehend Bev Jordan, to get a feel about Bev. What makes Bev tick? Because, you know, one of the things, listeners, that when I'm looking at Bev, and one of the things in a studio is that you have the ability to be able to watch people and non-verbal cues. And Bev is always so positive and always rolls her sleeves up to get things done. And it's really important because they're
rolled up this morning even.
Yeah, they are. I have shared some moments when you're with your mum, and that was very, very close to me, because she has played such an integral role. I can ask you much softer questions, but today is about that relationship, because to me, that was everything and is everything to you.
It's very difficult, I think, for a lot of people during this pandemic with older parents. Like, my mum's in a uniting care facility, and they're being absolutely fantastic. But, of course, part of all of this is that they're in lockdown and have been in lockdown for a while because they want to keep their residents safe. So my mum's learnt all new technologies. They take the iPad to her, and we've been chatting, you know, via that face to face. I also was very, very lucky to welcome a grandchild, my first grandchild, into the world on May the 1st.
Yes.
But my mum has only had a chance to see Scarlett via the iPad and via us, my daughter-in-law, holding her, you know, across a balcony at the retirement village so mum could see her. And I think that that's affected a lot of people. And I think with Father's Day coming up, I think a lot of people will feel very remote from their loved ones in those situations.
And why I brought that up, Darren, and we're going to talk about the council and all of the things that you're directly and indirectly involved, but some of the beautiful things. I sat with your mum, and I just want to share this with our listeners, and she was so proud of you. I met her a couple of times, but this came out of the conversation when we sat at a function, and it was just lovely to see her eyes and how in awe she was of her daughter. And I just share that with you, and I've never really shared that with you, and I just want to say thank you, because that meant a lot to me to see the rawness of relationships and what people bring when you meet them. So that was a very important moment. And then, of course, the corollary of that is being a grandmother,
best job. I think that's why we have children, isn't it, Jim? Yep. I've become a grandparent. Yes. Don't tell my children that.
Someone said to me once that you have grandchildren to learn to fix up all the mistakes you brought when bringing up your own children. So I guess there's probably an element of truth in that. But Bev, in terms of the charities and all the community work you're doing, it's just endless. One of the ones that you're very well known for, amongst many others, of course, is Relay for Life. Why is this passion so strong? I mean, you have such a burning, and you tell a good story, because lots of people consistently come with you, and you've raised over millions of dollars over your duration during that time, and you continue to do that. It's a great story.
I think when I was a local journalist on the Hillshire Times, because I was there for 17 years, I was invited to one of the very early Hills Relay for Life. And I remember walking across the showground to bridge over troubled water just before they started the candlelight service, and just thinking, oh my goodness, I have never seen a community pull together for something, that they were all united in their determination to do something and do something for the Cancer Council. And at that time, Kathy Aird was the chair of Relay for Life. And I was approached after that when I wrote the story and asked if I'd join the committee. And I was one of those people that was not very good at sports, so I was never asked to join the team. And I couldn't believe somebody had asked me to join their team, so I was so excited. And I know as a journalist, I have skills for publicity and marketing and things like that. So I thought, yes, I can help this group. And I joined them. And it was, I'm just thinking, it was 3 years later that my husband was diagnosed with cancer, and he had bowel cancer, and sadly lost his battle with bowel cancer 3 years later. So for me, I had started fundraising for the Cancer Council long before the Cancer Council became really, really personal and relevant to me. But all through David's journey, I was picking up brochures from the Cancer Council. I was looking at the information. I was getting support from them. And I thought, if I can ramp up what I can do for them, that's really important to me. But that's in all the things that we do. It's like getting involved in the winter sleep ad. It's about making the difference. It's about getting involved in Christmas and Jersey Day. We've got a big story. When I left the Hillshire Times, I felt it was really important to carry on giving the community a platform. So I now edit and write the Hills to Hawkesbury community news, and we've got a big article on Jersey Day there.
And I'm going to come back to that. I just want to go back to Relay for Life, because there's some really important things there, if I can.
Yes.
What are some of the moments that have really touched your heart introspectively? You know, what are some of those moments? How many years have you been involved exactly? I've got a vague
2003 was when I joined the committee. So quite a while.
Give us one or two moments that really will stay with you forever. I mean, there's countless, but what is something that says this is a signature moment?
I think watching the survivors and carers walk is really important, because I think that gives everybody hope when you see a large amount of people of all ages, and some people are 20 years beyond their diagnosis. And I think that is really, really important.
And that's at the start, isn't it?
That's the first lap.
And I think that's really important, because that sets the scene.
That's very powerful. And friendships are formed on that track, and people come back year and year and meet the same people and sit and have morning tea with them, which is provided by another community group, Soroptimus International, who provide all that. And people make connections. And there's one young man called Joel, whose mum, Mel, was a policewoman at Castle Hill Police Station. First time they walked that carer and survivor's lap, Joel was 18 months old and did most of it on his mum's hip. He's now a Year 10 student, and he's still involved in Relay. They come every year because he was diagnosed almost at birth with a cancer. And he knows that he owes his life to all the work and all the research that has been done. And he comes back every year. So for all of us, that is a magic moment.
It's 18 minutes past 10. We have in the studios our very good friend Bev Jordan. And Darren, let's go to a break and have a song. And it's one of Bev's favourite songs.
And yes, Bev. We can't have Bev without ABBA.
Sorry, everyone.
ABBA Waterloo coming up just for you, Bev.
Grab a cuppa.
Alive 90.5.
23 minutes past 10. Alive 90.5. Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
We're very fortunate to have in our studios today Bev Jordan, a great mentor to many, many people, a great contributor to our community and helping others. Bev, we were talking about Relay for Life. In terms of COVID-19, has that presented its challenges with fundraising and telling the story? And we're going to talk about how you're doing that for the Hills for Hawkesbury and how the philosophy behind that.
I think, yes, COVID-19 has had a terrible effect on most charities too, and fundraising, as you'd know from the Red Shield appeal. Mm. I think fundraising, I heard somewhere, is 80% down for the Cancer Council, but obviously still people need the services, the researchers need the funding to do the research, which has made a huge difference. We didn't have our outdoor event in May. We went online, so that was different for us. We've had the recent Daffodil Day. That was also, we didn't have our volunteers out selling daffodils. We didn't have the Father's Day wrapping. We haven't had that. So, yeah, it's had a huge effect. But it's also, I think COVID-19 has also taught us a lot of lessons, all of us, about the need to go online, like the winter sleep out you did online too. And that has pluses in it, but there's nothing like being part of a community that's face-to-face.
Mm.
In real life.
And are you looking at ways of trying to develop, become innovative in the ways that you do your fundraising?
I think, yes, I think that all fundraising from now on will always include a component of online. So people who physically can't get to events or can't be there for a long period of time can still be part of those events. Mm. So I think it's really important for cancer survivors too, that maybe don't want to risk going out, that they can see something online. So I think we'll be doing a lot more live feeds from now on.
I was going to say exactly that. That's been a big opportunity in my mind, that we have these online tools, and now everyone's discovering them. Everyone's more au fait, so you can easily say, yes, we don't like saying brands, but you can easily say, we're going to be on Zoom. Everyone's go, oh yeah, I know what that is. Mm. Whereas a year ago, for half the population, they'll go, what do you mean? I can't do that. And so in my mind, the opportunity is there to now bring things online as well as meeting face-to-face when we can as well. And hopefully that will double, triple the sort of engagement we can get with these sorts of activities.
You're on Spotlight with Darren and Jim, and we're delighted to have Bev Jordan in the studios talking about charities, talking about the way in particular, Bev makes contribution and surrounds people to help other organisations. Bev, you've taken on, you're retired, and you look too young to be retired, but you're retired in the sense of the more formal part of work, but have taken on other tasks. And one is that you've really put a line in the sand about letting the public know about various charities in Western Sydney, and that's through Hills to Hawkesbury newsletter or news...
community news magazines. Well, I didn't actually retire. I evolved. Yes. I set up my own company, Bev Jordan PR, but I wanted to do more work in the community.
Yes.
And one of the things that I did was I joined forces with the Hills to Hawkesbury Community News to build that up as actually a community publication. Mm. So we've got 32 pages that come out every fortnight, and it contains 20 plus community news stories. There's a list of all the community groups there in the area. And for us, it's really important to give a platform to organisations. So Western Sydney Red Shield Appeal, we've got a big article on Jersey Day in this publication. And the publication is available at shopping centres near you. And we support 90.5. And it's about keeping a community connected. We are online, we have a website and we have a Facebook page, but we think print's really important. We think people want to pick up a copy and flick through it while they're having a coffee or a cup of tea.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I've got the latest version in my hand. So listeners, if you haven't got your latest version, please get out to your local distribution point, and we can share a bit more of that online and get you connected. And Bev, I can see that you connected some really good people to get great photographs. And on the cover is the new fire engine at Baulkham Hills Fire Station, which is just down the road. And the image is just a brilliant image, which just really captures that kind of the connection there to the emergency services. So congratulations.
I think Scott the fireman did not want to be a page one model, but he was actually wearing the new fire suits that they've all got, the fire uniform that they've all got.
Well, that shows that investment into both the fire engines and the fire suits is bringing our emergency services to the next level. And as you say, a great full page spread on Jersey Day, which we'll talk a bit more about in a minute. And so back to you, Jim.
Bev, tell our listeners, who inspires you? You know, you're a very worldly person, very well educated and so on. Who inspires you to continue your work?
To be honest, I think it's all the people I write about. Like, I'm amazed by the people I meet each day. Like 100-year-old Dennis, who walks to church every day down Castle Hill Road to get to Mass at St. Bernadette's.
Right.
And I said to him, do you use a walker? And he said, no, I don't. And I just thought, what an amazing person. You know, there are young people doing extraordinary things. Like, as I said, I got into this job because I believe everybody has a story. And when you talk to people, it's quite amazing what they're doing. And a lot of people do it for nothing.
It's absolutely amazing. I can't believe, Darren, that our time has come to an end in terms of this part of the journey with Bev. Bev, it's been a real blessing having you in the studios today to tell the story. Without people like you, we would be a poorer community. And listeners, I'm looking straight at Bev and looking straight at her eyes, but I'm really looking at her soul. Thank you for all the things that you continue to do and will be doing for our community. We are in a better place. Spotlight, congratulate you. And as we say in the movies, we salute you.
Thanks so much, Jim and Darren. It's been great.
Thank you, Bev. And we have one more ABBA track, The Winner Takes It All.
Yay!
Alive 90.5.